Vayter in Shas. We are in Makos Daf Gimel. Picking up on Bezum Bez by the bottom of the page. Three lines up from the bottom. Now, yesterday we mentioned the Brisa. There are four examples of those who don't get what they try to give. Normal din of Edom Zomin. If you try to give someone something, you get what you try to give them. We said there are four that don't. Number one is they don't become a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza in place of the person they accuse. Number two, they don't go to a city of exile. Number three is they don't pay kofar. And number four is that they are not sold as evidently, rather they get malchus for all these circumstances. And Rabbi Akiva adds that they don't pay through their own confession, right? And that is that ein mishalmin al pi atzman, right? They don't pay through their own confession. Like if they brought it to court, if they're brought to court, and before they're officially zomified, they run to another court, and what they did, then they don't have to pay. Now we're jumping into Rabbi Akiva, into that third statement over there. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru. My time with Rabbi Akiva, why is it? Why would it be that you don't pay Alpi Atzman? Kasava, because he holds Kenasu. He says that Im Zomin is Hazama, the whole concept of Hazama, is a Kenas. And you don't pay if you admit, says Rashi, says Gemara, V'kenas ein misham l'piatzim, says Rashi, the chsiv gabe kefil, we know kefil is definitely a kenas when you pay double the amount that you stole, but it says, asher yarshiun Elohim, that the judges come along and they rushicize you, then you go and you pay, prat, that's excluding l'marashi yasatzim, someone does it to himself, that's more of a kama of samach dalad amud beis. Now let's support this idea with seemingly two separate supports, but they're going to say that it's really one and the same. Amar Rabba says, Teda shaharei lo asumaisa v'neharagin umashalman. You should know that this is actually true, what we're saying over here, because those zomified didn't actually do anything, right? Kasher zamam la v'lo kasher asa. They just attempted to have somebody do something, but they didn't succeed in doing anything. Yet they're killed if they're trying to kill someone, or they have to pay the reciprocal. So clearly, this is a penalty. Says Rashi, "Tedik Shari Hameidim Benefesh Lo Hargu Adam Flo Nerag Adam Apiem VeNeragim Mishalman." They are killed, or they have to pay money. So clearly, it's a kenas. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Teda Shari Mamon Biad Bailum Umishalman." No, that money's in the hands of the people that you tried to have them pay, and yet you still have to pay. So clearly, it's a kenas. Beep. Turn the page. Gimel Amarav. Frankly, my new the Lo Asu Maisa. What's this whole shtickle over here? What's Rav Nachman adding over here? Rabbi just said that, says Rashi. My moment beyond Ba'alov, the Kamar of Nachman, Hainu Delonase Maisa, Shadayan Lushilem, Elishin Digmar Dino, Lushalim. Right? They didn't have to pay, but these are doing Digmar Din. So Hainu the Rabbi says the Gemara. That's exactly what Rabbi said. It says the Gemara, and the Chenami, Emel, the Chenam of Nachman. Rav Nachman also says that, so they're on the same page over there. There's no argument necessarily adding, it's just he says the same concept. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Rav. Says Rabbi Rav, an interesting statement, and that is Eid Zomim Mishalom Afichalko. And Eid Zomim, one of the two Eidim over here, pays according to his chelek. In fact, the Gemara, what does that mean? My Mishalom Afichalko, what exactly are you coming to teach me by saying such a statement? Do you want to say Ilay Midaha Mishalim Palga Vahai Mishalim Pal Vahai Mishalim Hai Mishalim Palga? If you want to say that it means that if you have these two witnesses that come and they get zomified and they were going to have somebody have to pay $100, so now what it means is that each one of them pays $50. If that's what you're trying to tell us over here, Tanina, we already have that, is a Mishnah. Another Mishnah in Daf Hey, we're going to see this concept, the Mishal Shalin B'Momen, Vein Mishal Shalin B'Makos. And when it comes to money, we split it up, but we don't do it when it comes to Malkos. Each one gets the full amount of Malkos that they should have got. Says Rashi, that Im Shlosha Edemin, if there's three of them, or Bar, or four, Mishal Shalin B'Nehem, they split amongst the amongst them, Beis Din, Nasin Shlish B'Nehem, Lashavosim B'Vero, and Ishan V'Kelko. They split it up, each one according to their own portion over there, right? Or Mishalsa, what it means is, meaning they, meaning Beis Din, is a shlish, is like a third party, that they go ahead and they split it up equally. And that's what it says, Rashi, Nami, Hai Mishalsa, Lishna Ba'almahu, Mechalkan Apiroim, Bein Shloshtan, Huadin, Nami, Imarba, Hein Maraban, then they do it into quarters. So clearly it can't be that. El could go into Itzim Chadminayu. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about a case where only one of them gets zomified. One of the two of them gets zomified. The Mishal and Palga the day. Now he has to pay his $50, his 50%. In fact, the Gemara, Umi Mishalim? What? Can't be that that's what it is. Because would he actually go and would he actually pay? V'ha'atan. Yeah, we're looking at the Baisa. Ein eid zomim mishalim momen at shizum ishneim. Eid zomim doesn't pay until you zomify both of them. Both of them have to be zomified that you are both with us, mokum ploni, in another place. And if you only do one of them, then they don't have to pay the zomim at all. So then what does his statement mean when he says eid zomim mishalim lefi chelko? So it comes on Rava. I'm a Rava. Be'omer, we're talking about a case of where the guy, Omer Eidus Sheker He'avati, that is that the case is where one of the witnesses zomifies himself by saying that, you know what, I was lying. In that case, he would pay his half, right? Because in such a case, he pays his half. He would have been chayav. He pays half, he would have been chayav if he would have been zomified, right? That's the case we're talking about. So that's the Gemara. Huh? That can't be. Kol kamine? Do we believe such a thing? Says Rashi, b'tamia v'chiyachal hu lachzor bo. If you put there nidum nishalim, is he able to go back on that which he said and pater the bob that he's accusing over here? We know the principle is kifin shehigid shuv eino chozer magid. Once a person testifies, he can't go back in this testimony. Then you have a bit of a problem. Testifies this way, testifies that way, testifies the other way. We already saw it in three places: ksuvus, bava basa, and Sanhedrin. You can't pick out of your testimony. And for the Gemara, Kate writes, no. Okay, so Ella, what is the case we're talking about over here? We're talking about a different case, and that is beomer headnu vehusmu bevezin ploni. But the guy comes and he says, no, really, we testified, but we were zomified already. He says, Rashi, Adno, Neo, Ploni, V'chaver, Eno, Mode. Right? He says that the claims that we were zomified in another court. We're coming into one court. They go, we're in another court. And but the other, it's not maskim. And that's why he has to go and he has to pay half. Says the Gemara, Kiman, who's this going like, this whole concept? The low Rabbi Akiva clearly can't be called according to Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva's own says, or dear Rabbi Akiva, Ha'amar, he already said, Af Einu Meshalim Al Pi Atzma. The guy doesn't pay through his own statement over here, right? Through his own admission, he doesn't pay. So therefore, because it's a Kenas, and Kenas is Einu Meshalim Al Pi Atzma. So clearly this can't be going according to Rabbi Akiva. So Ella, we have to come and really fix up this statement. Let's adjust the statement a little bit. But Omer, what does it mean, this statement, when he comes and he says, when Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Rav, Rabbi Rav, eid zom misham lefi chelko, we switch it up and we say, we're talking about a case of, hey, adnu v'huzmu b'bezin plan. The guy comes in and he says, we testified and we were zomified in a particular bezin. V'chuyavnu ma'amon. And they are mechayvas man, we have to pay. Says Rashi, v'chayav ma'amon b'bezin shehuzmu v'hemidu v'hemidnu v'hemidenu hanidon b'din. We were brought to court as zomified. V'chayavnu, v'chayvunu beizdin. And beizdin were only mechayva. So me'ahu shaita from that time. Mamonahu gavayu. Now we have money that's in our hands that really belongs to him. V'inzem arshiyasat. So this person's not, you know, arrestifying himself now. Shekvar hirshiu Elohim. Because the judge has already did that and therefore he's going to be chayv to do it. In fact, the Gemara, what's the... Well, Gemara kind of just says it as a statement. What exactly is a chiddush over here? Why would you think this wouldn't be? I would have thought, since we can't be mechayev of the friend to go ahead and actually pay right now, when one of the two witnesses comes in and says, yeah, this happened to us and we were already zomified and rishasized and made to have to pay. This guy said it. He's not able to be mechayev his friend of doing such a thing. Then we would say that he also wouldn't have to pay. Kamash Balan is saying that the one who's saying it himself, he's admitting to it. Then he now has to pay his portion. That's what it means. Eid zom mishalim lefi chelko. Okay, zok the next Mishnah. Firstly, to know that the next two Mishnahs we're going to be dealing with cases that there's a din of hazama, that the people, you know, the Edom have to pay what they tried to get Bob to pay, but we're just not sure exactly how to assess what the loss of Bob would have been, and therefore how much they actually have to pay, and we got to figure out what they would need to pay. Okay, zok the next Mishnah. Me'idin anuis ish ploni shagiris ishna. We come along, these two and it's coming along to say, yeah, this guy Bob, he divorced his wife. But not only that, he divorced her, and Velona Saluksubasa, he didn't pay her the ksuba, says Rashi. Bifanenu, we saw him do this. Beyom Ploni on this day. Vizel, the other guy says, what? Logarashi, I never divorced my wife. Venu Chayev Luksuba, I don't have to pay her ksuba. Obviously, he didn't pay the ksuba yet because he's never divorced her. Venimsu Zoman Ba'atzman, and they end up becoming zomified with people saying, hey, what do you mean? You Imanoisim, Ba'makam Ploni, Beyom Zel, Makam Ploni, you're with us in another place, and we could have done that. Fact the Gemara, right? So in such a case, right, the Mishnah is saying that you have to pay. But fact the Mishnah on this, v'halo bein hayom bein l'machar sov v'litin iksuba, is it not true that maybe Bob actually isn't losing anything over here, right? The whole thing is that they don't have to pay that which they're going to cause Bob a loss, right? He's not losing, they're not causing a loss over here. Why not? Because maybe he's actually going to divorce her, or he's going to die before her, in which case he's going to have to pay the ksuba anyway. So there's actually no loss, and this woman shouldn't have to pay anything. So again, v'lo bein hayom bein l'machar sov v'litin l'ksubasa, says Rashi, klomer, ma yishalmu elu im tomer kol l'ksuba, lo shem yamu, so you're going to say it's the whole ksuba, but maybe this guy's going to die, and if he dies, then the ksuba goes to the wife, or you're going to he's going to divorce her, hayom o machar, today or tomorrow, v'sov v'litin l'ksuba, v'nimsu shalo, hayom avsino, so klomer, they're not making him lose anything. So what do we do then? Om dem kama adam rotsa litim b'ksubasa shelzu she'im nis almina onis garsha v'im mesa yirshenu baila. So there actually is some sort of loss that's going on of the theoretical possible somebody else, a third party coming in and buying the rights of this ksuba. She'im nis almina garsha. Let's say that she's going to end up being widowed or divorced, which is going to get the ksuba. And or maybe if it may say Yerushana Baila, if she's going to die before the husband's going to inherit it, and she's not going to get anything, so he's not going to pay anything. And that's how much the Zomen are going to have to go and pay. Before we jump to the Gemara, I just want to explain a little bit of what goes on in the Ksuba. In the Ksuba, we have a few things. Number one, you have the basic amount they have to pay. If she's a Basula, then it's 200 Zuz. A Ba'ula, then it's going to be 100 Zuz. Okay, that's number one. Number two is we have what's called Tosefes Ksuba. That means whatever the husband decides to add in there. If we get divorced, I'll pay $1 million, whatever it is. And number three, /4, but it's not necessarily written in there. Number three is known as Tzon Barzel, and there's also something called Nichsei Milu. Now, what are those two things? When the husband gets, a man meets woman, yay, they want to get married. Woman has a lot of property, though. Right? What does she have? She's got a Lambo, she's got houses, she's got planes, she's got jewelry, she has a Joe DiMaggio card. This woman has a lot of stuff over here when she comes into the marriage. But we know that halacha is that whatever she comes to the marriage to goes to the husband. Now, the question is, in what capacity does it go to the husband? So there's two options. Either what happens is that the woman can say, I want you to evaluate how much all this is worth. How much is my Lambo, the houses, the planes, the jewelry, the Joe DiMaggio? How much is it all worth? We do an evaluation. It comes out to be $1 million. They assess it. And then what happens is the value is put into the ksuba. Let's say the Lambo crashes, the house gets destroyed in a flood, the planes crash, the jewelry gets stolen, Joe DiMaggio card gets burnt. Now there's nothing left. And then they decide to get divorced or he ends up dying. The amount that they evaluated at the time she came to the marriage was $1 million. That is called Nichsei Tzon Barzel, iron sheep. It's called iron sheep because it never gets damaged. Exactly what it is what she's going to get. So all those houses and planes, whatever goes up in value to worth $10 billion or goes down to zero, doesn't change anything. Whatever it was evaluated, that's called Nichsei Tzon Barzel. There's something else that's called Nichsei Milug. Nichsei Milug means plucking property. And that is that she gives over the stuff, but she wants the stuff back at the end of the marriage if they get divorced or if he dies. And in the meantime, he gets to use the Lambo, he gets to use the houses, he gets to use the field and to take the fruits that come from it, all that kind of stuff. But if they get divorced, then she ends up getting back everything, whatever the value of it is. Now, that is not written in the Ksuba. That's called Nichsei Milug. That's not written in the Ksuba. The only thing that's written in the Ksuba itself is in Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Okay, so that's important to note when we're making the evaluation of what a person would be willing to pay. Now, what does it mean what a person would be willing to pay? Okay, so what that means is as follows. First of all, full stop, and then we're going to open it up. Here we go. Stop, open up. Whew. The Gemara is obviously going to explain how we can work all this out. Let me just, again, preliminary to get into what's going on over here. If a husband and a wife, and there's a husband and a wife, and there's a ksuba there. Maybe there's a third party over here, right? We'll call him Stefan. Not Stephen. Stefan, the PH. And Stefan walks over and he sees that there's this ksuba, and he says, "You know what? I'm willing to go ahead and to pay right now to give money that maybe I'm going to end up gaining from this sale over here." That means to say as follows. Let's say, let's make the more obvious one, which the Gemara is actually going to end with, at least according to her papa, that he goes to the wife and says, "Hey, I'm willing to go ahead, your ksuba, all in all, let's say everything that's in there at the end of the day, you're going to walk away with is valued at $1 million. But maybe you're actually not going to get it in the first place. You might get it. You might not. If you die right first, or I die, right? So then what happens is, then I'm never going to end up getting this. But maybe he'll die or you'll get divorced, and then you will be getting this money. I don't remember the example I gave. Let's say it's $1 million. So I'm willing to pay you right now $500,000 on gambling on the possibility that you'll get divorced and or he'll die first, and then I'm going to end up making $500,000. I'm not willing to give you $1 million for future possibility because there's no way to guarantee it's going to happen. But I'm willing to give you $500,000. That is what we're talking about, that the amount that there's going to be a loss to the husband. How that's a loss to a husband, we'll explain in a minute. The other option is you could also say to the husband, I'm willing to give you money, for the possibility that she'll die that she'll die first, and I'm willing to pay you also, not the full amount, but also I'm willing to pay you for that, but I'm willing to pay you more than I'm willing to pay her, as we're going to explain in just a moment. So, says the Gemara, Ketzer Shaman, how exactly do we evaluate? I'm going to read through the whole Gemara, then we'll explain it. How do we evaluate the amount that the Zomim are going to have to pay now? Amar Chista Bebal. We evaluate with the husband. We go according to husband. So there's a bunch of huge Rashis here. I'm going to spell them out. I'm not going to read them inside. You can read them inside, and you should. Amar Chista says, Bebal, we go according to the husband. We evaluate what the husband can get from a third party, this guy Stefan, for this land that's set aside for her ksuba. And then they go ahead and the witness have to pay that amount. Rav Nosar Bar Oshaya Omer, he says, no, but Isha will go according to the woman. We evaluate what this Stefan would pay her for the chance to get the ksuba. And then the witnesses will have to pay not that amount, but how much? The difference between that amount and the face value of the ksuba. Right, and that's how much is going to be. That's going to be a lot of cash over there. Rapapa says, "Beisha ubik subasa." The answer is, we go according to the woman, right? According to the wife and her ksuba. What does it mean, the woman and her ksuba? And that means only the nichsei tzon barzel, but not the nichsei milug, because nichsei milug is the plucking property. That's not written into the ksuba itself. Therefore, they couldn't have known that that's what they're going to cause this man to lose, and that can be chayv to actually pay it. Only nichsei tzon barzel, which is written in there, that's what's going to happen over there. So that's the full stop, period. Now, why is a man, Stefan willing to pay more money for the husbands than for the wives? Because when he pays for the husbands, he gets to use the stuff immediately, the stuff which is right there, right now. Even though if he dies, then everything goes to the wife. In the meantime, he gets to use it. Whereas the wife, he gets to only have it if they divorce or if he dies. Therefore, it's more value to pay the husband than to pay the wife. Okay, now, the whole thing we just ended now is that really they're coming to mess over the husband, not mess over the wife. So how could we say that it means the wife? What it means is as follows. We evaluate the value of her, meaning how much would the buyer, would Stefan, be willing to pay her for the chance to collect the ksuba if they get divorced or she dies? And let's say that's, we said it's $500,000. Unless he's willing to pay $600,000 to him because he's getting more, right? So what we do is $500,000 for her. And then what we do is we subtract the amount from the original ksuba. So it's $500,000. We take $1 million and subtract $500,000 from that. So it's going to be, he's going to have to pay $500,000. Why is that? Because if it would have worked and if they would have succeeded, then the husband would have had to pay the entirety of the ksuba. And therefore, that's what it should be. But the worth of the wife's claim has to be subtracted from it because a husband would willingly pay the wife this in order to get rid of that claim and to own it himself. And therefore, the amount that comes out can't be part of the loss that he was going to lose over here. And when you go according to her, let's say it's $500,000, then he's going to have to pay a loss of $500,000. If it would have been according to his, then it would have been $600,000, the loss would have been $400,000, so now the Zomimin end up paying another $100,000 in the example that we gave over there, and that's how we end off.
Zog the next Halakha Mishnah. Ayayim, Eidin on the beach, Palinchu, Chayiv, Lechavir, Elav, Zuz, we testify against Bad that he owes his friend 1,000 Zuz. Amanas Litam Lo Mikanvad Shilshim Yom, and he said that he has to pay him back within 30 days. Vahu Omer Mikanvad is Hashanim. He says, what are you talking about? Enechinam, I owe the guy the money, but he gave me a 10-year loan, not a 30-day loan. What are you doing over here? So Omdom, what do? We evaluate Kama Adam Rotzelitain, Viyabiyadu, Elav, Zuz, Bein Nosim Mikanvad Shilshim Yom, Bein Nosim Mikanvad Esayom. And we Shoshanim, we evaluate how much should a person be willing to spend in order to extend the loan. Meaning, if I owe you $1,000 and I have to pay back within 30 days, I'd rather be able to pay back 10 years. 30 days, that's a short amount of time. How much would I be willing to spend in order to extend the loan? And that's how much the Zomamin have to now pay, because that's what the loss that they would be causing him to have. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Says Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel. Hamalvas chaveru la'eser shanim. Somebody who lends his friend money, lends it to him for 10 years.
Shavias mishamatzo. There is a straight up pasuk which says that if you go and you lend somebody money, that shmita comes along, and what does it do? Says the pasuk, v'zed dvar hashmita shamot kol bal mashe yado asher yashe b're'ehu lo yigos esre'ehu v'es achiv kikara shmita lahashem. And that is that shmita goes ahead and it nullifies any sort of loan that occurs. So if I lend you money, and then Shemitah comes along, and I didn't write a prizbal. Prizbal is a derabbanan enactment that we make a loan by writing a prizbal, goes to the hand of Bezin, and that's not Misham, it's not knocked out. But if I didn't do that, you know, standard, I lent you money, and now it's now time to pay back the money. I mean, you owe me the money, but then Shemitah comes in the meantime, it knocks it out. It's actually happened to me when I was in yeshiva. Shemitah came along, I lent money to a guy, I think his name was... Oh gosh, I actually remember. It's one of two people. Anyway, I lent the money, and I think a couple hundred dollars, and the money that I had, which at the time was thousands and millions of dollars. Anyway, Shemitah came along, and I didn't write a principal, and ended up knocking out the loan, and he ended up paying me anyway. You're allowed to pay the guy anyway, but you're not chayiv to it. I'm not allowed to demand it. But the point is that Shemitah knocks it out. So he's saying, Hamal v'schaveru lesser shanim, Shemit shviyas mishamatzo. So he goes and knocks it out. Beep, turn the page. Gimel on the base. V'afal gav dahashe lo karinan bay, lo yigos sof asili de lo yigos. Even though right now, during the Shemitah, because obviously it's going to be within 10 years, there's going to be at least one Shemitah. Even though right now you don't have to even read the words Loigos of not collecting, because I'm not allowed to collect it anyway, right? Because it's a 10-year loan. This is a 10-year loan. I'm not allowed to collect it anyway. So the Torah telling me, don't collect it. I'm not allowed to anyway. So even though Hashta Lokarina Beloigos, you wouldn't say that you're not allowed to Loigos means not pressure the person to go out to pay it, because I'm a chayv anyway. So fast the Egos, eventually it's going to come to this that I'm not allowed to. And therefore it is nullified. Says Rashi, V'alakav dahash de b'shvius lo krina be lo yigos shaharei im ba lenok, so if I wanted to go and take it below shvius without shmita nami, and yochel marei batulam rinan kevin, we don't say kevin de lo krina be lo yigos lo krina be shmot, since we don't say lo yigos, therefore we don't say shmot, we don't say it's nullified, the sof asli de lo yigos, eventually it's going to come to that, v'alakav mishtama be'kra lo yigos bizmano, don't do it at the time that it comes up, it's re'eu ki kara shmata kolam akin, because it's already called shmata before that time. Frank the Gemara, Masiv Rav Kahana, but we know what our Mishnah says. Omdim, Kama Adam Rotsa Litevi Elev Zuzbiyado, Bein Litein Mikan Vachloshim Yom, Bein Litein Mikan the Ad Eser Shanim, right? That's a quote from our Mishnah. V'i Amar Shvius Mishamasa, and if you want to say the Shemitah is going to knock off loans, even though it didn't come yet, Chayev, Kulu Nami Boy Shalumale, then the Zomin should have to pay the entire 1,000 Zuz, because their false testimony would have forced this person to actually pay back the loan. Because now that he's saying that you have to, they did it from 30 days, so then that means that if it would have been 10 years, it would have been knocked off. The fact that they're saying it's 30 days means that they are now going to have to pay it back. So if I, let's say, with the person who borrowed the money, I go and I borrow the money. Let's go back to our Bob. Bob borrows money, and he claims that it was a 10-year loan. But the Adam Zomin say, no, it's a 30-day loan. A 30-day loan means Bob's going to have to pay it. A 10-year loan, he's not going to have to pay anything. Therefore, they're now being mechayev him, actually the total amount. So why is it only the difference of how much you'd have to go and a person would be willing to pay? Amar Rava, Rava said, where, where? It's Hachamai Skin, and what are we talking about? B'malva ala mashkon. We're talking about the case of someone who lends, but on a mashkon, on collateral. U'v'motzer shtar osav lebeizin, and he gives over his shtar to beizin. Says Rashi, motzer shtar lebeizin, who? Prizbal. That's the prizbal that we're talking about. Shehiskin Hillel, shekosav bo, mosreni lechem ploni, that Hillel set up something known as a prizbal, that they write, I'm giving over to ploni, or ploni, adayonim shemakam ploni, shekol chov, sheyeshli, she'agvenu kozman she'ertzeh, I'm going to be able to get back any loan that I want whenever I want to get it. Such a thing, Shemitah does not mishamet, and therefore he would have had to pay it anyway, and the only amount that we change now is the value of what he would have paid to extend the loan. Says Gemara, the time, where do we learn this from? Mishnah and Shavias. Hamalve al hamashkan, someone who lends on collateral. Hamoser shosel bezin, who gives over your stars to bezin. In other words, he writes this principle over here that I'm giving over to you, the judges, that everything I'm going to be able to get. Ein mashmitan, Shemitah does not knock it out. Rashi says, the lo karina and be lo yigo, shere ein utavea klum. You don't say the words, because there's no tovei over here, right? This idea of not to pressure the borrower from payment doesn't apply. Because when you have collateral, he doesn't have to go and press for it because he already holds something in its place right now. So that's the reason why we say what we say, and he doesn't have to pay the full amount in that particular case. Ika de Amri, some say it a little differently. Oy, 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 oy. Amar Vidar Mishmuel. Hamav is Chavir, Lesser Shamanson lends his money, friend money for 10 years. Ein Shvias Mishamaso Shemitah does not knock it off. The Alpha Gav Da'asi Lo'igos, even though it's going to come to Lo'igos, has to be, but right now, Lo'karin about Lo'igos, we don't read it, Lo'igos. Right, so according to that, no, so Amar of Kahana, Afana Nami Tanina, we also have a Mishnah which actually supports this, because it says, Omdim Kama Adam Rotsi Litain, we elves us biyada, bain litain mikanva shoshim yom, bain litain mikanva edesishana, via my trees, Mishamatam, if you want to say the Shemitah knocks it off, Kula Nami Boshlum, he would have to pay the full amount, and not only the amount that he would have been willing to pay to go ahead to extend it. Amar of Rav says, no, not a raya. Hachmei Skin, what are we dealing with? The Malva Maskon, someone who lends on a Maskon, a Moshe Shosel Lebezin, and he gives it to Bezin. That's why. The Thana Malva Zal Maskon, a Moshe Shosel Lebezin, Ain Shemitah, and then Shemitah doesn't knock it off. Otherwise, it would knock it off, unlike we were assuming. The Amar, another statement, Vemar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Omer Lechaveiro, somebody says to his friend, Amanash Shalot Tishamateni Shavias, Shavias Mishametas. You come to me and say, can I borrow $1,000? I say, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you on condition that Shemitah does not knock it off. Doesn't help. Shemitah still knocks it off. Says Gemara, Lema Kosav Shmuel, let's say Shmuel says, Masta Masha Kosav B'toru, because I'm being Masta, I'm making a Tanai, and something gets written in the Torah. And the principle is, V'chol HaMasta, HaMasha Kosav B'Torah, anything, any Tanai, we saw this in Gemara in Kiddushin, any Tanai that's made on something that's written in the Torah, Tanai Batel, the Tanai is knocked off. Now, it's important to understand the following idea to get what's going on over here. We know that it's true you can't be master, master, gossip, the Torah. The Torah tells us something you can't go and make it tonight. It goes against what the Torah is telling you. However, when it comes to Dini Mamonus, maybe there is something to be pulled over here. Maybe it's some shtick. Why is that? Because a person, when it comes to Mamon, has his own cash. He has the right to go take his money and throw it in the toilet if he wants to. He can go and get rid of it. So therefore, when you go and you say to me, when I say to you, I'll give it to you on condition that Shemitah doesn't knock it off, it may be that if you agree to that, that a taka would work. And Shemitah won't knock it off because since you have the right to go throw your money right now, you can flush it down the toilet, throw it in the ocean. So too, you have the right to say that I'm not going to let Shemitah knock it off. I'm going to actually pay you back over here. So, but it sounds like over here, from the fact that Shmuel is saying that it won't work over here, that he must hold that Tanai is batel, that it doesn't mean anything. But we know that Shmuel doesn't hold like that. This is a Gemara in Bava Metzia and in Ksuvus. We saw this. I'm going to say you this thing on condition that there's no ona'a. Onah is fraud, right? When you go and you charge someone more than a sixth of the value over there, that's called onah. So what happens if a person says, I'll sell this to you on the condition that you're willing to forego the onah. Yeah, it's really worth $100, but I'm selling to you for $10 million, and you can't come and have a claim back on me. Rav Amar Geish Lov Onah, right? The statement means nothing, and there is Onah there. It does apply. Mosef Rashi says, the matana, the maslam hashakosav, al shel torahu, Al Sonu, right, the Gemara in Rashi and Ksuvas, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Ein lo lavana, taka, Ein lo alova na, he doesn't have the ona on him because this guy's willing to go and give up his own money over here. So what do we see? That when it comes to ona, Shmuel says a person can be, so to speak, masa masa kasa b'torah. So why wouldn't he say the same thing when it comes to Shemitah? Says Gemara, ha itmar Allah. We said about that. Amar avanan l'didi mifresha lei minei de Shmuel. It was explained to me what exactly was meant. What did Shmuel mean? In other words, that statement of Shmuel, Shmuel himself explained it to me. It depends how the person said it. Amanasha ein lecha alai ona'a. If a person says, on condition that you have no ona'a against me, en lo lo avala, then there's no ona'a. But amanasha ein bo ona'a, that there is no ona'a, that's simply not true. Hare yesh bo ona'a, there is ona'a. If you want to say that you don't have it on me, that's a different story. Rashi says, shamasa mashakasa b'torah tanai kayim, vim amar lo amanasha ein bo ona'a, ein ze masna sheyimcha lo onaso ella who hista imo sheno ona onehu b'mecher zev very unroam sheish bo ona v'hai mod shmuel deshol avna. That case there is ona. Hanami imam lo lava halveni amanas shelo tishmeteni ata b'shvias tenai huze v'afal pisha hista matzakosuv. That's going to work if he says if you're not going to come and employ this against me. It's really all in the wording. It's all in the wording over here, and there's no change over here. Hachanam here also says the Gemara, on the condition that you're not going to cancel this debt on Shemitah. So then he's agreeing he's going to get rid of that, and ain't Shvius Meshamet. So Shemitah is not going to be Meshamet, and you're going to have to go and pay the guy. Manash Shelo Tishpatini Shvius. I want to say in condition that Shemitah is not going to do it. Shvius Meshamet does. What are you talking about? Of course Shemitah does, and therefore the Tanai is out the window. Bam. Tana. We learned in a brisa. Hamalda Eschaveru Stam. If someone lends someone else money, Stam. It doesn't say how much money it is. He's not able to go and get the money before 30 days. Minimum, that loan is for 30 days. This is only if it's something that's written in the shtar, a loan in the shtar. The law of an inish, the tarach, the cost of shtar, but some tosin yom, because the person wouldn't want to write a shtar, you know, wouldn't go... go out of his way to write a shtar, but if it's the loan is less than 30 days, but if it's mevapeh, then no, it's not a guarantee that it's going to be 30 days. You could even get it before 30 days. Amar le Rav, Rav says back to him, Hachi Amar Chaviv, he says, no, you're wrong. Even a mevapeh al peh. Rav says, Chabibi Targum Shel Dodi, Rabbi Chia Achi Aviv Hayah. This was his uncle. So says my uncle, Rav Chia, Echad Amava B'Shtar, whether a person does it with a Shtar, Echad Amava Peh, or a person does it by heart, still you can't do it less than 30 days. There's a minimum loan, which is 30 days if it's not stipulated what it's going to be. Tanya Amyachu, a Bryce, which actually supports this idea over here. Einu Rasel Atobu Pachim Shoshim Yom, Echad Amava B'Shtar, Echad Amava Peh, you can't do it less than 30 days. Armali Shmuel Rav Masta, Shmuel said Rav Masta, Lo Teisev Akarech Ad Mifreshallah, I don't want you to sit down on your legs until you can explain to me this, the following teaching. Where do we learn out this rule that the rabbi said that Amalva is chaveru stam in yom? Where do we know that whether some where do we know that it's minimum 30 days? Amalei, he says, what do you mean? We have a pasuk which talks about shmita. It says kirva shnasa sheva shnasa shmita. Right, this cancels all loans. The seventh year, the year of relinquishment, it comes near. Right, the fact that it says that the seventh year is coming near, I don't know the Shnas Shmita. Why do I have to go and say these words? Shnas Shmita, lo melacha, to teach you, yesh Shmita acheres shehi kazu, that there is another Shmita. Rashi says shekruya shana, which is called a year. There's another Shmita, meaning relinquishment, that's similar but not the same. And the Ve'ezazu, what's that? Hamalva is chaveru stam. Someone who lends his friend money stam without saying how much time it's going to be. Sheinu reshala tova pachas b'shul shem yom. He's not allowed to take from him less than 30 days. That's what it means when it says another, those extra words are teaching about another year. What's another year? That's talking about a 30-day period. Damar mar, shlol shem yom b'shana chashav shana. 30 days in a year is considered like a year. From Avidam Rav, Tumar Dinim, that Rav Kana comes again. Tumar Avidam Rav, Aposeach Beis Tzavar B'Shabbos. Oh, you know what? I'm going to stop over here. We're going to stop over here because it's going to open up a few different things. Okay, my friends, I want to wish all you all a great, great day.